today on the Brad and Will Show, we got Jabari Smith Jr. on the show. We got a lot of fun questions lined up, so definitely stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this one.
All right, and welcome back to the episode of the Brad and Will Show. We got a very special guest in the building today, man. Very, very special guest. I'll quickly shout out myself and the show. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bias Houston. You can find the show on all streaming platforms, YouTube, of course. Tap in with us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at Brad and Will. Yeah, that's it. I'll pass off to Brad.
I'll keep it quick, too, man. Y'all know where to find me at Brad NBA on Instagram, Twitter. Got your favorite stats, highlights, news, updates. All that stuff I got you covered. But today, as I said, man, we got the boy Bari in the show today. You know, Auburn legend, you know, third pick in the draft, you know, Mr. Clutch himself. Man, how you doing today?
I'm chilling, man. Chilling. I had some workouts earlier, so chilling right now.
Yeah, we saw you. And speaking of those workouts, we saw you getting some quick runs in with Aaron Miller. You know, you were out there with Tari.
Yeah. You know, I seen Tari had played in it, and then I got back in town that day, so I told him I'll pull up to it.
That's what's up. Anyway, we wanted to start it off real quick, you know, talk about your off season as a whole. You know, we've been seeing you do a bunch of stuff. You know, to start, you know, we saw you doing yoga. You know, everyone's been talking about, you know, you out in Fayetteville doing your yoga. You know, how long have you been doing that for? And, you know, how does that really benefit you as a hooper?
It really started, like, right after the season ended. I took some time off, and then, like, right when I started, like, getting back into it, I started with yoga and lifting. So I was lifting, like, three times a week for, like, almost the whole summer. Like if I was in Atlanta, I was always going to yoga Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
That's what's up.
Yeah. And then, you know, we talked about, you know, some things you did this summer. You were able to coach a top 100 camp, and mm-hmm. you know, you talked about how that was like really, really difficult. So what were some things that you took away from doing that, and what was that like for you?
Like, it was really one of the funnest, like, you know what I'm saying? They always talk about how players never get to see the coach's side and stuff. So I gained a lot of respect for all coaches of all levels, because it's not easy. You know what I'm saying? Like the reaction time you got to have, the moving on the fly, the so many different things you got to worry about and think of. Like, it's crazy. So it was cool to be out there, though, with some of the top players in the country and all of that. But I would say it was fun. Me and Tara was over there struggling. We ended up making the semifinals. But it was cool. But coaching hard, for sure.
That's what I said. We seen the clips on Instagram with the, you know, little sound bites and that heavy guy. You know, y'all are too funny. And you was going against AJ. You know, those some good runs. It looked like you was going through the motions.
Yeah.
I could tell he's going to be a good hooper down the line.
Yeah, he's going to be nice.
Yeah, yeah. But outside of that, man, we saw you came out, you know, last season, no tattoos. Now we got the full left arm sleeve. We working on the right arm sleeve. And, you know, we got to ask you, man, what's your favorite one that you've gotten so far?
I feel like it's the newest one I got with the jerseys on. We got my Atlanta Celtics jersey. Then my Auburn jersey, Sandy Creek jersey, and then my Auburn jersey at the top. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's probably my favorite one, the most newest one I got. It's still peeling and shit.
And what's that? We got a few more coming in before the season?
Nah, I think I'm going to chill out before the season.
there you go.
I ain't going to make no promises, but nah, I think I'm going to go into the season just like this.
For sure. That's what's up.
All right, so jumping right into it, man. Summer League, you came out there. And in my opinion, I think that you were on pace to win Summer League MVP if you played the full four games. Absolutely dominated the two games that you did play. You know, what was your mentality going into those games? You know, what was your takeaways from that? I thought you had a really good quote when you said, you know, you weren't too good for Summer League. And, you know, so, you know, just what were your whole experience with Summer League this year?
Like, just going into it, you know, people, coaches and stuff were asking that I want to play. I'm like, I'm not against it. And then I just had to talk with myself and thinking, like, why wouldn't I play? Like, I feel like I got so much to improve on and so much more to show. So just why not go out there and play a new offense, new coaches, hear new voices, and just go out there and have fun. You know what I'm saying? Cam playing, a man playing. And then coach asked us, did we want to play, me and Tari? He was just like, yeah, why wouldn't we? Like, it's just basketball with refs. Like, you don't usually get that during the summer. So just going into it, we just wanted to build some camaraderie and just like trying to change the culture a little bit, starting off the right way. And I feel like we did that going to the championship and, you know, just winning the games like we did.
And we wanted to ask you about, you know, Amon and Cam later, but since you mentioned them, you know, we'll move that question up. You know, what were your initial thoughts? You know, you were out there playing with them. You had two games with them. Oh, yeah, one game with Ahmed, you know, two games with Cam. What were your thoughts playing with them, and, you know, what they can bring to this upcoming roster?
First thought is, like, they're most the two of the most athletic players I've seen probably or played with. Like, just not just jumping. Like, I'm talking about, like, just speed, like, reactions. Like, their instincts on defense are just kind of, like, you can't really teach that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can teach where to be in spots, but just that knack for the ball, it's, like, that's kind of like a gift. And they both got that, but – just how athletic they are, how much they run, and they're just real unselfish, you know what I'm saying? Like, they listen, like, they're not no issues. They're not worried about their shots. They, like, really just out there and want to win. So that's what I like most about them. Like, they just cool to play with, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I'm excited for them to come onto the team next year. It's going to be a different dynamic having all those athletic players, you know, joining this previous roster. Yeah. But, you know, outside of that. Outside of that, one more thing on Summer League. So this past season, you were extremely clutch. I mean, you had that shot against the Pacers to send the game into overtime, a little turnaround three. And then, of course, you had that game at the top of the key against the Pelicans. You dribbled to the right side, hit that shot, and you was like, hey, I'm a bad motherfucker. So, we seen you out there, bro. We seen you. You clutch. And then you came out in Summer League, too, hit that game winner with like 0.6 seconds. I'm going to tell you right now, watching that, I didn't think there was enough time for y'all to do anything. But Tari threw that pass. As soon as it hit you, I was like,
at first, I told him I wanted to, like, fake like I was going to go up, and, like, he threw it, like, all the way to the corner so I can at least, like, have a shot. But when I seen, like, how the dude was on the ball, I'm like, nah, he's not going to be able to throw that. So it was like I just came up. And Coach drew up the play for me in flash right there anyway, so it was perfect. I know that's I didn't have no time to do nothing else, but you got to catch it. Throw it up, something.
Yeah, bro, that turned out perfectly. And then you ran back in depth with KJ. That was a perfect little sequence, bro. That's what's up. We'll kick it to Wilder.
All right, so we talked about, you know, your father and the role that he's played in not just your upbringing into the NBA, but just in the NBA itself. You had a really good moment with LeBron earlier this year where, you know, you talked about your father was in his first game and now he's playing against you. That kind of speaks to LeBron's longevity. But, you know, what type of role has your father played, you know, to help you get to this moment, preparing for this moment? And then, you know, I saw a soundbite of him saying he was going to be locked in with you this summer to help prepare you for the upcoming season. So, you know, what type of role is he playing
for you? Like a mentor, like dad, like friend. We talk about anything. Like, we've been together all summer. So it's like we just got back to the basics, got back to what got us here. You know what I'm saying? Like, gym, locked doors, no cameras. Like, just get back to us. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we just focused on. That's what we've been doing since I was five, my brother, you know what I'm saying? Like, waking up at 6 in the morning before school in 7th grade, like, doing all of that, doing it in elementary school just because I wanted to be like my dad, wanted to be like my brother. So, like, he's had a huge influence on mistakes he's made that I can avoid. Like, he just make it a lot easier for me. Like, even growing up, I was always living like a pro. Like, in high school, it was certain stuff that, you know, high schoolers don't do, like, and he had me doing it, and I wanted to do it. So when I got to the league, it was a shock and a jump, but, like, I already been living like that all my life. That's what I feel like.
And that's what's up. I got a chance to meet him once at one of the games. Great dude, and you had me laughing when you put up on Bron and told him, man, you played Bron his first game. That's probably one of the sound bites of the year, but I definitely had to bring that up. But that's what's up with your father and that regimen that you got. And we definitely got to ask you, you know, since we was talking about offseason previously, you know, coming in from your rookie season and now, what aspects of your game would you say you've been working on the most this offseason? What have you ultimately, you know, been focused on?
I feel like it's just been strength. And with strength, that comes with just being able to put the ball on the floor, being able to take bumps and, like, having a move to change directions. Like, that's basically playing stronger, playing lower to the ground, being more consistent and efficient. Like, I just feel like it wasn't one thing that I just focused on except for, like, just my body, like, being stronger and just precise movements, being able to play more physical, take bumps, because I don't think last year I was just so weak. I was just kind of, I don't know, like, you just got to throw your body around a little bit, take bumps a little bit more. So that just comes with playing a lot of 5-on-5, bumping with my dad a little bit and workouts and just getting comfortable with putting the ball on the floor, taking bumps, being strong with it. And that improves your ball handling, and that kind of helps you in that regard.
I'll say, you know, you talked about your welcome to the NBA moment being playing against Giannis and, you know, him being so physically dominant that first game. But you had him that second time. And I guess I'll give you your props on that. Like, I don't think I've seen that many players in the NBA period, let alone in their first couple of games in the NBA, be able to hold their own against Giannis like that. So, you know, to your credit, like, you know, the strength and conditioning, that's, you know, the baseline, and it's only getting better from here. I can only imagine what that's going to be like for you.
For sure.
Yeah. But, you know, going, keeping moving, one of the guys you were drafted with, you already touched on him a little bit, Tari Eason, pick 17, summer 2022. Y'all both came into the NBA together, both came to the Houston Rockets. And it was kind of clear from the jump that y'all had a really, you know, a really tight bond. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of two guys who were always together. What is your relationship like with Tari? And you know, what's that dynamic like with him?
I mean, we came in together like the day after the draft. We're on a plane flying to our new job. You know what I'm saying? So we was always pretty close. It was always like me, him, and Ty during the summer. Like, we was always close, getting in the gym together, doing everything together, going to the mall. Like, we got a lot of free time. So we was just always kicking with each other and just chilling. So, I mean, that kind of grew, like, as the season went on. So you can imagine how close we are now going through a whole season with traveling and all of that. So, yeah, that's my brother, you know what I'm saying? So, and we've only gotten closer. We're competitive. Like, we talk to each other any type of way, talk trash to each other. Like, that's just how we are. We're competitive, but we know, like, it's going to bring out the best of us. And we're just excited for the season. We talk all the time about the season and expectations and just how excited we are to just win, because we don't like losing. It might not look like that, but when we do anything,
we know y'all don't.
When we do anything, we always competing and trying to win. So we just want to get back to that.
And quick mention, we're going to ask about it later, but you brought up, you know, you, Tari, and, you know, Ty being brothers. You guys were all drafted in together. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, the Rockets, you know, they've made some changes, you know, brought some guys in, lost a few guys. You know, Ty, you know, you guys, you came in with him, man. Like, how does that feel, you know, for you to, you know, lose him, you know, a guy you came into the league with, you know, the rest of those guys on the team?
It was kind of different for me. You know, it's probably different for guys like other players on the team who've had players traded and stuff like that. But it was kind of weird for me because you spend the whole season with somebody, get so close to him, and then, like, it's almost like you don't – not necessarily don't see him again, but it's like you really just don't see him around. So it's kind of weird at first. And you just think they're going to a different situation and just hope the best for him, really. But it is kind of weird, but it's just something you got to get used to being in this league because, you know what I'm saying, it's a business. So just got to be ready for it.
Definitely. You know, Al P gave that, you know, that exact answer when we asked him previously. You know, it's a business at the end of the day. You know, y'all definitely understand that. But I'm going to go again with another quick question. You know, you had this rookie season. You're coming in third pick in the draft. You were the eighth youngest player in the league. You were 19 the entire season, which is pretty rare, you know, for a rookie. So, you know, you obviously have a lot of ups and downs. You're going to go through some slumps. You're going to have times when you hit that game winner. You know what I'm saying? So what were your thoughts on that team? You know, you had 10 guys, 22 or younger. So it was obviously going to be difficult to win a bunch of games. You know, what was your main takeaway, you know, from that rookie season?
My main takeaway is just find your why, find your reasoning. Like, with all that losing and so much going on, like, you can kind of second guess yourself in different situations, and kind of the game kind of doesn't get fun to you anymore, but you got to find that spark and just remember you're in the best league in the world. Like, just find that and know that better's going to come, change is going to come, and keep that camaraderie with your teammates, because they're the only ones going through it with you. Like, no other fans can feel it, like, but they don't feel it like the players. Like, we think, like, it ain't really it. So it's just the losing and all of that. Like, you got to really, that's when you lean on your teammates, talk to them about it, and just, that's how you just get closer. So I feel like the whole season we was losing and down, but I just feel like we was just so close and like, we was just trying to win every game. Like, no matter what was going on, like, we wanted to win. We just really didn't know how at the time. So just bring people in to help us and just figure it out. And, you know, I'm excited about it. But last year was a lot of ups and downs, but I wouldn't change it. You know what I'm saying? I grew so much from that. Like, I'll probably talk about that, talk to rookies about it for the rest of my life. Like, it's something I wouldn't change for the world.
And I want to comment really quickly before we'll ask this next question. You brought up you guys were extremely close. And that's something that, you know, a bunch of Rockets fans, you know, kind of knew. But a lot of outsiders think, oh, you know, this Rockets team is a mess and there's no camaraderie in the locker room. It's broken. Can you touch on that? Because obviously you guys were extremely close. But, you know, what are your thoughts on your stuff like that?
I mean, you can see that. You know what I'm saying? Like, us arguing on the bench, you can see other things, arguments and stuff like that. And it's easy to say that from the outside looking in. But on the inside, it's like, everybody wants what's best for each other, but they just know everything's not going as planned right now. It's just tough. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing you could do about it by pouting and just being like that towards nobody. So, like, we we always in it together, but it's easy to see that, say that from the outside looking in, like all of that, just how we acted on the court, how we respond to each other, like all of that, you can say that, but it was just all out of frustration and just everybody trying to figure it out. So, I mean, like disputes like that stuff happen, like
sports.
It's just sports. You know what I'm saying? But it compiles when you're losing. You're losing every game and stuff not going your way, so it looks way worse. So, you know, that stuff you got to control, you know, talking back to coaches and stuff like that, like, that's not what the league is about. So, half of that is on the player's part, but, you know, it's just basketball, you know what I'm saying? Get competitive, emotions fly. It's just easy to say that from the outside looking in, but I feel like it was pretty close.
Yeah, man, it's just y'all being competitive, bro. That's all it was.
So, speaking of competitiveness, y'all – I think the Rockets absolutely knocked out the head coach signing this offseason, bringing in head coach Ime Udoka. And that's somebody that a lot of the guys who he's coached formerly, you know, whether it be Jalen Brown or Jason Tatum, those are all-star players who said that's arguably the best coach they've ever had in their entire career. Mm-hmm. So now that's now your new head coach. What were your thoughts when you saw that hire? And, you know, what were you, you know, how do you envision Udoka using you and, you know, just what he's going to bring to the team next season?
I got excited immediately on the hire, just off his demeanor, what people say about him, and he was in the finals. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just an accomplishment itself. So, and seeing the Celtics play, their play style, like you can only get excited about that. So just seeing that and him coming in and just how excited he was. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of uplifted us a lot, because coming off last season, coming into this season, you know changes are gonna happen. Like it's not a secret. So just going into it was real. Real rocky, but, you know, he just came excited and just said, play defense, have fun, and our look, you know, and our stuff, like, right when the season. But all of that it was just like, play defense, play hard, and just play together. You know, that was what he preached the most, play the right way. And just as far as you using me, we haven't really talked about it much, but, you know, I can tell by the stuff we're working on and stuff, he's going to be putting me in different situations that I wasn't in last year. So I'm excited about it.
So, you know, next question we have for you is, you know, I was watching a podcast. I think it came out maybe like 2 days ago with KJ Martin, your former teammate. And he was, you know, talking with Paul George about how difficult it is as a young guy to use your voice in a locker room, because you don't want to, you know, overstep boundaries, and you don't know, you know, when to speak up, when to not speak up, right? Because, you know, you're young, but, you know, you're going to your second season now, and leadership has obviously been one of the things that you were known for in Auburn, and we have Vanessa Richardson on the show, and she talked about you and Tari being some of the most vocal leaders in the summer league roster. So how do you translate that, you know, find that balance as, you know, a young guy, you know, there's a bunch of vets in the team now, but, you know, you're someone who obviously, you know, have the voice to be a leader. How do you balance that and bring it to the table?
You know, it's tough, but on a young team like that, you know what I'm saying, I feel like anybody was open to say anything and put their input, uplift people. But I feel like the main thing about being a leader is you got to back up what you preach. And if you preaching playing hard, you preaching getting on guys for not doing the right things, you gotta be able to take it too when somebody else is coming at you. So being a leader just goes both ways, being able to talk to people and being able to receive it. So I would say not necessarily as hard for – it was hard for me last season just because we didn't have a lot of old vets, you know what I'm saying, where it would probably be different if people were speaking up and stuff like that. But the leaders on the team, Tate, KPJ, like our other vets, Frank, Bobby, like all of them spoke up. Like it was cool, but nobody else was afraid to speak up or anything. But you can feel kind of intimidated because you don't want to think you don't know enough because you're a rookie or something like that. But I just feel like it just, if you know what you're talking about, people will listen. Know what I'm saying? So I just feel like you just
got to
go both ways.
Definitely. And then also, of course, you got Fred coming in. Really like Fred coming in as a vocal leader. Obviously won a championship. You know, guys like Dylan Brooks, I've seen you working out with him out in Vegas. You know, Jeff Green, Aaron Holiday, a bunch of guys that they brought in. You know, what are those conversations been like with those guys? And, you know, what's it going to be like for you, you know, having some vets that you can lean on this upcoming season? Because last year you guys only had minimal vets. You know, Jayshon Tate, you know, Frank Kaminsky and Boban were the only players over 25, you know, past the deadline. So not a lot of older players. So what's it going to be like for you this upcoming season, having those new players?
I'm excited, you know, because growing up, I was always around my dad and old NBA players. So it was like I had vets when I was in, like, middle school and high school. Like, they always lose, always talking basketball and stuff. So I'm used to listening to people older than me and taking gems from them and latching on to them just because that's how I was as a kid, you know, like being in the gym with Lou Williams and just older players around the city. Like, I would want to listen to them. Like, that's kind of, they, why wouldn't you? You know what I'm saying? So I was kind of excited about that going into the league, but it was just different because it was just a different situation. But building in, like, bringing in vets like Fred and Dylan and Jeff Green and other players who've been in the league multiple years is going to be helpful just because they've seen so much. You know, those guys have been in finals, like, just seeing things that I haven't seen that only a few percentage of the world has seen, you know what I'm saying? So, like, just knowing how to get there, knowing what it takes, like, I'm just excited to just pick that brain and just hear stories about it and just try to get there one day, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and there was a viral clip that went out of, you know, Jeff Green. He was talking to Aaron Gordon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if he's able to, you know, teach a seasoned vet like that, I want to say Aaron Gordon's around 27. I already know the impact he's going to have, you know, around you guys. You know, you guys have a young core, a really good young seven, and just having a bunch of those players in there, man, I'm excited for y'all to pick pick their brains. You know,
I'm excited, definitely. Real excited.
Yeah. Yeah, but, man, we got to ask you. On the last episode we had with Alper and Shangoon, he was talking about the 1v1s. He was saying he was getting some dubs. You and Ty were getting a few. We got to hear what you think, man. Who was winning those games?
I mean, me and Alper had played in different scenarios, but when it was me, him, and Tari, and I feel like we were on the block, he was winning most of them. Like, on the block, he was winning most of them. But we'll move out to the three-point line and stuff. Like, he probably wasn't talking about that. Like, we'll move out to the three-point line, like, and it was pretty balanced. But it was one day where we played block, elbow, elbow, and block. And I won, like, 3 out of 4. So I don't know if you're gonna vouch for that, but that definitely happened. So, you know what I'm saying? We just competing, you know what I'm saying? And I can see why he said that. He's gonna have some days, but I done have my days too, though. So
no, he's definitely in his bread and butter on the block. You know, got to move out of the perimeter, and it's a different story.
Nah, he's been out there too, though, but
I'm knowing.
You know what I'm saying? It was just, I might have the advantage out there a little bit.
For sure.
And then, you know, you talked about what you had the advantage on. What are your goals going into next season, I guess, both individually and as a team? And what are the biggest areas you think you can kind of bring to the team next season?
Next year, as far as goals, like, just be the most consistent everyday guy I can be. Like, just going to every game with the same mentality. Don't change from misses. Like, just stay the same the whole season and just impact winning. You know, that's my biggest thing. Whether it's average 10 points, whether I average 20, like, I just want to affect winning and be on a winning culture and just win in general. So whatever comes of that, that's what I want to do. But I definitely want to strive to win, like, most improved player. Like, I feel like I've been working so hard this summer. Like, why wouldn't I try to go get that? And I feel like if I had that success, I know our team will have that success. So, you know, like, making the playoffs, playing, whatever, like, just being in the postseason is just my goal, ultimately.
I mean, it's just, as a fan, just looking at all the moves that the team has made this offseason and just, you know, factoring in the natural progression between guys like you and Jalen and Alpi, you know, the young guys who are on the roster. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think y'all can for sure make a 10 seed, a play-in tournament. Like, I think that's a real realistic outcome. I like the rest of the team. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'll finish off with this, man. We're out of questions, but I think you had a smooth rookie season, man. You had the most double-doubles ever for a teenager, a teenage forward, that is. And so that's a good accomplishment, man. I'm excited to see what you can do this upcoming season. You're going to build off of that summer league performance. Again, you got the new players coming in, the new coach. Yeah. Man, sky's the limit, bro. Y'all gonna do it next season. So we're gonna see. I think y'all can mess around and make the play-in. It's gonna be tough. Obviously, the West, they got some, you know, some good teams out there, but I think y'all got it. But man, as a whole, gotta thank you for pulling up to the show. I really appreciate you. You got anything else you wanna add?
Nah, I appreciate y'all for having me. You know what I'm saying? It was cool to do this. And I appreciate y'all for having me. I don't got nothing else to say.
For sure. Last thing, you said you're about to start streaming. You wanna talk a little bit about that?
I'm finna start. I'm finna get my PC soon, and camera, microphone, and stuff, and try to stream a little bit. Not for the money or nothing, but just something to do. You know what I'm saying? I feel like when me and my friends be playing the game, it's funny. So, like, and I feel like I'm pretty good at it. So, you know, just add something to it, something to do. I feel like I'm pretty entertaining, and you know, it'll be fun.
Man, I live on Atlanta. Trust me, all y'all entertaining out there. So. I feel you, bro. But hey, man, we definitely appreciate you coming on again. Yeah. I hope y'all enjoyed this episode. If y'all still listening, make sure to subscribe. We're trying to hit 2K soon. So we appreciate the love. And y'all tap into the next episode. Appreciate you again, Bari.
For sure.
Yeah, we're going to be back.